This is a trigger warning for this episode as it contains themes of sexual assault and violence against women. If this is something that is going to trigger you or you're not comfortable listening to, then please go ahead and skip this episode.
Just fucking unhinged, isn't it? Just getting feral.
But it is good for a laugh, at least.
Me trying to do a winged liner and just ending up in tears.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Living Loose podcast.
With Liv and Lucy. Finally back.
You guys, we're having an absolute disaster. So this is so like, I don't even know, like Jumanji sort of, no, not Jumanji, MacGyver sort of recording.
I have no idea, but we are trying our fucking best.
It's literally like, we're recording separately and then like putting everything together, and Lucy has no signal for a very, very, very juicy reason. Luce, do you want to let everyone know why you have no signal?
Oh, God. Okay. Well, guys, I'm just living la dolce vita. Okay. I'm in Italy. I have no shame. And I'm having a great time and I want to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it.
Okay, so you're in Italy with the Italian stallion.
Look, kind of. I'm in Italy and it just happens to be where he lives, okay? But in the small town that he lives in, yeah.
And happen to just be like seeing him every day and doing all the things and being in a little love bubble.
Ugh. Yeah, look, we're basically living together and probably going to get married. So, yeah. Yep. The thing is,
you know,
no,
what?
Yeah.
I had the meanest things to say. I was the biggest hater. But I kind of love him. Like, he's weaseled his way back into my heart, not just yours.
Yeah, look, he has been very good so far. Obviously.
How good, Luce?
Like so cute. Like, he brings me food constantly, which is obviously my love language. We are having amazing sex. We are doing little cute dates. And
I'm going to put you on blast here. He even bought vagina cream.
Okay. Yeah, so I had a broken vagina from all our sex, and he was like, you must go to the pharmacy. And I was just like, no fucking way. And say what? Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't even order my lunch in Italian. Like, how am I going to go to a pharmacy and tell them about my broken vagina? And he was like, oh, you can just show them the picture. And I was like, fucking no way.
Wait, the picture of your vagina?
Yeah. He was like, let me take a photo and show you. It's like, it's really bad. And I was like, oh my God. So he's like, yeah, just show the photo. And I was like, no fucking way. And he was like, okay, I'll go and I'll show the photo. I was like, you're not showing the fucking photo. He was like, I say, this is my girl pussy.
Oh my God.
I was like, please, no. But yeah, he went to the pharmacy and like told them, like, he was like, my girl's vagina is broke from, I think, the too much sex. Can I get like a cream for her? And he like gave him this cream, and then like with the cream he bought XL condoms.
Oh my God, bless him.
The pharmacist was just like pissing himself, apparently.
Of course he was. He's a funny bastard. We've got to give him that.
Yeah, he really is. He's keeping me thoroughly entertained. Like, my face hurts every day. It's pathetic.
From just laughing so much. He's hysterical.
I know.
Okay, so I think we need to back it up a little bit here.
Yeah.
How did you end up in Italy?
So I would say like part existential crisis, meets midlife crisis, meets fuck it. is kind of the basis for that decision. But we did start talking again because I was drunk.
I'd love to know when you stopped.
No, we stopped for like a week.
When you really genuinely stopped, I'd love to know, but...
No, you were with me. So I stopped speaking to him when I found out he didn't break up with his girlfriend. And then...
Yeah, that was like 5 days.
It was like a week, okay?
Oh, okay, okay. Sorry, 2 days difference.
Yeah, yeah, it was like a week. Actually might not have even been. Anywho.
I'm telling you, I don't think it was.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was like 5 days. and then, well, it's your fault. We got drunk on whiskey in Edinburgh and I unblocked him and messaged him.
That's not my fault. Malcolm and I were having drinks inside. You went out for a smoke and... Or am I allowed to say that you don't want to? You went out for a cigarette and came back and then told us. And we were like, what the fuck? I let you out of my sight for like 3 minutes and you were smashed, unblocked him, texted him and fell off a step.
Yeah, twice actually. I fell off that step twice. So yeah, that's how that happened pretty much. And yeah, obviously like he was... saying all the right shit, and look, I still believe a lot of it to be bullshit. And I kind of was like, okay, when he was like, come to Italy and like, let's hang out and see what this is and stuff, I was kind of like, oh well, to be fair, I could go to Italy and like do some things I want to be doing, like I want to be writing and creating some content and stuff like that. So I was like, maybe that would be good, because also he works so much anyway that I would like have time to do that and not be like suckered into just spending
in his pocket.
Like, yeah exactly. So I was like, okay, like I think this is a good idea. And then I kind of came here with the intention of being like, you know, like this is just fun, like let's just enjoy ourselves, it is what it is, and then have a fun summer and then kind of like go off into our lives, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And look, I do kind of still think that. I'm just also like a little bit suckered in at this point.
Well, like we've had a few conversations about it and I'm very strongly feeling like you should just go with the flow and not hold the past against him. Obviously what he did was horrific.
Yeah.
But like he's told you all the sort of all the factors that led to that. And if you think about it from a boy's perspective, it's like, it's the wrong thing to do, but he didn't want to miss the opportunity to know you, and he definitely shouldn't have fibbed and all that sort of shit. Like he made a mistake and yeah, it was bad, but like he owns that. And yeah, if your gut's telling you to go with something, you've got to do it.
Yeah, I think my gut is also saying this is like an experience I should be having. Like I'm not saying we'll end up together or whatever yet. I don't know that yet, and I think there's a lot of things that make me think, oh, would this realistically work long term? Like, thing number one, I don't trust him for shit. But
yeah, but like he can work on that with you.
Yeah.
Like he can you've got to let him at least try to prove himself.
Yeah, he did say that.
Oh god.
But I wouldn't
trust him either, but I think it's just from what it sounds like, he's explained that he and his ex weren't a good match, and it seems like you two are so far.
Yeah, I do think we just get along very well, and like I don't know, I think because we have been spending a lot of time together, I'm kind of getting to know all those like different parts of how we interact and things like that. Like I've been kind of anxious and angsty at some points and he's like really kind of like brought me round, and he's been like a bit upset and I've been able to like comfort him. I don't know, I feel like there's those kind of ways of how we like interact with each other, I'm seeing now we're like also compatible in those ways. So I'm kind of a bit more
important.
Yeah, exactly. He's also good for my communication because I fucking hate communicating. And I would, I'd rather be a sassy bitch and just like, and be like, okay, well, bye. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. And I need to not.
Oh, you love a dramatic storm out.
I do. Even a metaphorical storm out. Like, I love it. And yeah, obviously I can't keep going on in life like that. And he kind of like makes me explain things. And he makes me explain things like really clearly, obviously, so that he can understand properly. Which I actually think is like really, it's really good for me to be like forced into doing that, you know?
It absolutely is. I'm so like, I'm low key, high key, absolutely rooting for this relationship.
What a turnaround.
I'm sorry. I know. I take back the cheesy dick comments I made. I know he's really butthurt about that.
He brings it up all the time.
Oh my God. He's been sending me funny shit. It's just, yeah, I'm a big fan. I was a big fan to start with. He lost me in the middle there for a bit, but now I'm back on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we'll see. We're having fun.
I
don't know.
I just think you'll also have enough friends in your life telling you to be careful and watch out and he's a liar and all that sort of shit. And I'm just like, you know what? How many people in this world meet an Italian man while on holidays, get the feels, have a little love affair? It goes to shit. But then who in, like, so few people in this world get to go back to Italy and enjoy that man and have a wonderful time. So I say go for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going for it. I'm going. Yeah.
You're going for it to the point where you broke your vagina.
Literally. Oh, she's been working hard. Oh my God. It's funny though, because it was kind of like, basically, I'm just going to explain what happened to my vagina, because I feel like if this has happened to other women, I need to know if like what I should be doing here, because I actually have no idea what the medical diagnosis of this is.
Just to preface, we're not giving medical advice. This is not an advice thing. This is like, if you have a tip, please advise us.
Yeah, if you're a doctor, please let me know. I see, this has happened to me before, and I think I just stopped having sex for a while and had a lot of hot baths and I was okay again. But basically, like, one side of like my vagina where the gland is that you get wet from. Are you with me?
Yeah, I've just never experienced this. So I'm listening just like, this happens. Oh my God.
Yeah. So it happened to me once before when I was having like a fuckathon with my old manager guy. Anyway.
Yeah.
And basically like it just swells up. So it was like literally swollen into like a balloon on one side. And then, yeah, and my vagina wasn't getting wet anymore. It was kind of just all building in this like pouch. So if you like compressed it with like a hot cloth or something, it would like release, but it just kept coming back.
Fucking hell.
Ooh. I know.
I am clearly just not having enough sex to ever do that.
I wouldn't recommend having this much sex. It did actually get a bit painful. But yeah, it was funny because we were like, before I realized what was going on, then we like went to have sex. He like touched my vagina and he was like, my love, it is the contrary of wet. I was like, dry? It's dry. I was like, are you sure? That doesn't sound like me.
Oh my God. I love him. The contrary of wet. Oh my God. He's so funny. Oh my God. Just the shit he comes up with is hysterical.
Oh, he cracks me up. Like, first day I was here, I was saying how basically we should just be like casual and fun and just enjoy each other And he was like, no, but my love, I want to be serious with you. And I was like, okay, I'm sure. And then
we've heard that before, mate.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I said. And then I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll be serious. And then you'll just cheat on me. And he was just like, oh, but the thing is, I want to be a monogamous, but I can't. I try so hard.
Oh my God. That's
like
the most Italian sentence ever muttered.
Literally, Jesus.
Nah, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. Not all Italians are like that.
I hope not.
But he is.
But he is. But he I've heard a lot of stories since I've been here.
Oh my God. Oh my God. In Italy with the Italian, having so much sex that your vagina broke, he got you the vagina cream to fix it. I'm saying go for it because I think he's funny and I think he is, I don't know. I just think you guys are a pretty good match.
Yeah, we're pretty like similar.
Time will tell, like whether or not you can trust him. But I just think he's I just think he's so much fun for now. And if it's just a summer fling, then you're going to make it the best summer fling of your life.
Yeah, and to be fair, I've never really had like a proper summer fling. So...
Well, baby, doing it in style, that's for sure.
I know, I'm doing it in Italy. We had like the cutest date day yesterday as well, and I was like, oh no.
I saw that little soft launch on Instagram.
Okay, I didn't realize that he was in the end of that video, so I deleted it.
I saw it. I was like, I know those tattoos. The back of his head.
You're like, I could pick him out anywhere.
Pick him out anywhere.
That is pretty much my roster updates because apparently I'm basically in a relationship. I don't know. I just know that he acts psycho every time I pretend I'm going to go see my other Italian boyfriend, Paolo. So I don't think I'm dating anyone else right now.
Paolo's fake, for those of you who don't get the joke.
Yeah, Paolo from Lizzie McGuire movie.
Oh my God, of course, duh.
He sent him like pictures of him and I was like, this is my other boyfriend.
Did he get it or does he still get jealous?
Oh, he gets it, but he still gets jealous. Okay. And then every time he comes in the house, he's like, I need to check the bathroom. I need to check upstairs.
Oh my God. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
He's so funny. He's a psychopath.
Which you needed in your life.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah, God.
Just a light one.
Just like a fun amount.
Nothing serious, just in a fun way.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's cute. Yeah, well, and I'm being so well fed. Like every day he comes over and he's just like, my love, today what did you eat?
So Italian. I've seen him bring me like tiramisu with love hearts on it and all the things. I've seen it all.
Like pasta, pizza. Breakfast, yeah, it's
you're not starving, that's the thing.
Absolutely not. Apparently I'm not eating enough.
Well, he's doing it right. Like all you really need is like some funny one-liners, food and sex thrown your way and you're happy. You're like a well-watered plant.
Literally, it's like my dream scenario. Those are like my three main things. You're so right. Anyway,
where's the lie?
I think it's safe amazing. To say our listeners will have all lost a little respect for me. However, join me on this journey and live. Roster updates from you, please.
Okay, so I got home. I moved us out of our flat.
Because you're an angel.
That's okay. It had to be done. So I'm back on the Central Coast, loving it. I've just been unpacking and trying to like make it feel like home again. I've been a little bit triggered by some stuff going on in the media in Australia.
Yeah.
Which we won't get into, but yeah, I've just been really triggered and it's just, you know, made me relive some really horrible things. So I've just been taking it really easy on myself.
Yeah.
I haven't heard really from anyone in my past. I do have like a little date with the athlete coming up, so he's away at the moment, but then when he comes back we've been like, let's hang out.
The athlete? So we'll
see. Yeah, but that's, we'll see if it happens. We haven't been, I know, we haven't been chatting. We just like, I like, there was something that came up for him, so I just sent him like a little message, just be like congrats, thinking of you, like, hope you're well. And he was like, yeah, that's great. And then yeah, we're like, oh, he's away at the moment, and he was like, when I'm back, like, let's hang out. So
okay, cute,
we'll see. It'll be cute, it'll be fun, as it always is. I'm like not like holding my breath for it though, because I'm like, if it happens it happens, if it doesn't it doesn't,
because not
like,
too invested
again, we no. And then I there's like, okay, so this is so dumb. And I can't tell if I'm just, like, on this little thing. So I've been, like, really happy by myself for a while now. I've just been in this phase of not being interested in anybody, not wanting to put myself out there. Like, I'm really enjoying my peace and just, you know. But there's that also comes with, like, I feel a bit dead inside because I've usually got a crush. I've usually got someone messaging me or something that makes me a little bit excited.
Mm-hmm.
And there's literally none of that. Like, my phone is so dry. There's nobody I like. There's no one I'm interested in. There's no one that's, like, interested in me. Like, I'm just really, really alone. Alone, not lonely. I'm perfectly happy where I'm at, and I know it won't last forever, so I'm just trying to enjoy it while I'm here.
Yeah, no distraction. But there's a
boy.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So wait, no, I need to tell you this. So no distractions, but I think I have a crush.
Yay!
And it's like, I don't know, like, it hit me. So I was unpacking stuff out of my car the other day, and this guy who I kind of know, he lives nearby, I know that, so I don't know if he lives like down the road or something, but he's like always, like, he's just always around, like, I see him heaps. And so I was unpacking my car and he was like, hey, do you need a hand with that? And I was like, no, it's fine. And like, it's like, other than like saying hi when we walk past, like, we've never like had a conversation. And so the other day I was unpacking my car and he was like, do you need a hand? And I was like, oh no, I'm all good, but thank you. Cause my car was chock-a-block full of moving stuff and it was so like, I just didn't want him to like go through it and thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, okay, no worries. Like, if you do need a hand, like, give us a shout. And I was like, thanks heaps. And then I picked the bag of cans up and everything just like fell out the bottom of it.
Oh my God. So
I
dropped
absolutely all of it. I was mortified. And he was like, are you sure you don't need help? It sort of like lingered. And I was just like in my mind begging him to go. Cause I was like, just leave me in this pile of mess. I had no makeup on. I had no bra on. I had like tiny little shorts and like my Crocs on. Like, I had my hair in a messy bun that hadn't been washed in 3 days. And I was just like, this is not, like, I don't know. I'd seen him so many times before, but like that interaction, I was like, oh my God, he's fucking gorgeous.
Ugh.
I've sent you a photo. Like, you know, he's so gorgeous. Yeah. And I was just like, fuck.
I did say though, when you sent me the photo of him, I was like, so fucking hot. But I was also like, low-key looks like your brother.
They don't look similar at all. I think it's just like the surfy hair.
Maybe,
sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I was just like, oh, like a little bit. But I think your brother's hot.
I can see it. I don't see it. Like, I think they're like very different. I think it's just like surfer boy Australia.
Yeah, it's the aesthetic.
And, like, maybe my brother when he was, like, a lot younger, like, and had long hair and stuff, but now he's, like, older and, like, got his haircut and a moustache and all that sort of stuff going on. And this guy's just, like, beautiful. But anyway, so, yeah, so that's, like, sparked a little crush. I've seen him a few more times just, like, walking around town and stuff, but I haven't had the guts to say hi.
Yeah.
Oh, so I think I'll
Do you do like a little
next time I
see a little like cheeky shy smile though? Like a
Yeah, okay. I've been like making an effort now. So whenever I normally leave the house, I don't give a fuck. But now that I'm like, okay, there's a chance I could bump into him. I'm like, okay, Olivia, I'll put on a bra. Olivia, I'll put on some makeup. Wash your hair, you dirty little gremlin. I've got to like put in a little bit of effort here.
Yeah, fair.
Just in case. So anyway, I've got a little crush. I'm too scared to say hi properly now. I think if I do talk to him at some point again in the near future, I'll give him like a cheeky follow on Instagram or something.
Yeah, I did say you should drop a thirst follow and see if he slides into your DMs. That's what I would do because I'm a little bitch with these things, but I still want the attention.
I know. I think I just like my confidence isn't great right now. And also because my confidence isn't great right now, I didn't follow him when I realized I had a crush. Like you told me to. You were like, go follow him. And I was like, no, it's too scary. And then I waited too long and I haven't seen him again close enough to like be like, oh, I'll go follow him. So
yeah.
Anyway, what are we going to codename him?
The boy next door.
The neighborhood crush.
Oh, neighborhood crush. No. Neighborhood crush, yeah.
I think the neighborhood crush. Yeah, so that's, so if anybody sees me being a clumsy little fuckwit running around Terrigal all flustered, it's probably because I just ran into him or something.
But Liv has a crush. Like, oh my God, it's been so long.
I know. It's probably not going to amount to anything, but I'll probably never get the guts to speak to him. But it's nice to have a reason to put a bra on to leave the house.
Yeah, I feel that.
So it's totally one-sided. Like, he probably doesn't know I exist. I'm just like, whatever, I'm going
to. No, because he didn't need to, like, do nothing about it and enjoy it. He didn't need to speak to you that day. I feel like he made a point of speaking to you. So, like, I mean, I would have just kept walking. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Am I a bad person?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, it was really sweet and really polite. You can just tell, like, he was raised by nice people.
Yeah, important. It's very important.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, though, to TikToker, sexy TikToker?
Oh, so, like, I don't know. I think like we both just sort of understood like he's in London, I'm in Australia, like it's not gonna like amount to anything. Mm-hmm. So it's just I think it was just like a one night thing really.
So you don't like talk?
We have messaged like not really. We have like messaged back a little bit. Like he sent me a thing, like replied to my story and was like, "Hope you're well," and I was like, "Oh, hope you're well," and like there's been like a little bit of that. Like it's friendly and it's not like a ghosting situation, but it's just like, what's the point?
Yeah, fair. Oh well.
He was lovely though. What a good egg.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's nice, like a nice little positive experience, but next.
Yeah. It was if I wasn't gonna be having sex for a while, I'm glad that he was the last one for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, fair.
You're in a relationship. No. Come on.
No. He keeps saying that. He's like, we are a couple. And I'm like, no. And he's like, no, we are.
I'm going to start messaging him and be like, when are the bambinos coming?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to encourage him. He loves it. He'll be like, Lucy, let's make a bambino. And you'll be like, no, get off me. And he'll be like, but why?
But why, my love?
Okay, so after our last episode, sorry to pivot, but after our last episode, I had a DM that I thought was really important to talk about. Mm-hmm. That was... And I think it's especially important to talk about because there's, so I'm sure everybody is aware that there's a violence against women epidemic. I'm pretty sure everywhere, but in Australia, it's particularly bad right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was looking at the stats on this in the UK as well. And it said that like every 3 days in the UK, a woman is killed by a man. And I was like, that is fucking terrifying. Like,
that is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm really passionate in my beliefs that it, like, because the problem is men's violence against women, it should, like, it's on it's on everybody to educate and raise men better and help them regulate their emotions, and it's on the good guys to call out the bad guys, mm-hmm. and it's on everybody to protect women.
Absolutely. But
that, and absolutely not victim blaming with this, but it's just the reality of the society that we live in currently. And so with our last episode, we talked about like Lucy going out and meeting up with people online. We've all gone on like a Hinge date or a Tinder date or something. And I think it's just really important to touch on how we stay safe.
Yeah.
Going out on these dates.
Yeah. I think especially with the last episode, with it talking about meeting up with a couple, mm-hmm. I guess if that is something you want to do, I did feel as well as though it was a little bit more risky because you kind of are then a little bit outnumbered.
Yes.
So I think, yeah, no, it's really important to be aware of that and not be scared of it, because, you know, we don't want these things to kind of impact our joy in life. You know, that's how these mm-hmm. fuckers win. So
exactly.
But yeah, I will say that I was nervous the first time I did that. Yep. But I think like the main things are, you know, obviously meet somewhere very public, somewhere mm-hmm. you feel comfortable, if you would prefer closer maybe to your home than theirs, then mm-hmm. I think that can help. Also, what I always do is I have like at least two or three friends on the same time zone that will be on my, you know, like my Find My Friends. So they can track like my live location of where I am. And also they'll know where I'm supposed to be. So before I go anywhere like this.
Exactly. It's like, I think it's the same thing with like any online date. It's like, I try mm-hmm. and get like full name and mobile number before I meet anybody, so that way I can be like, okay, this is who I'm going to meet, like this is like, and like try and like FaceTime somebody first to like verify if I can, and be like, okay, to my friends or my mom or something, I'll be like, okay, this is who I'm gonna go meet,
mm-hmm.
this is their Instagram, this is their mobile number. If I like, if I hit it off with them and go back to their place, I always let my friends or my mom or somebody know like their address.
Yeah.
Like I don't, like I'm like, if you like, just basically like, if you kill me, like you, like you, I'm, you're gonna get found.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Who I was, who I was with. Exactly. I keep my nails long, so like if you try and kill me, they're gonna find DNA under these bad boys. Like it's so fucked that you have to think about that.
It is, but
it's
hey.
No, so it's just, it's like a huge community effort to like make sure that your friends are safe. And like same thing with my friends, like when they go out and meet people, I'm always like, okay, do you want to tell me who you're going out with, where you're going, etc., mm-hmm. etc. If you're going to someone's home, I'm like, can you please like let me know. Like I know Carolina was going, like went on a couple dates with somebody that like you and Mr. Want's wife had introduced her to.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to his house to like have dinner and stuff, and I was like, okay, well Mr. Wants and I wife knows where this guy lives if anything happens to her. Like it's just like girls are always thinking these sorts of things, and it's not because we're organically crazy and want to be involved in everybody's business and know everything. It's because we have to, and we have to look out for each other like that, because it's what society has shaped it to be.
Yeah, 100%.
It's what violence against women has shaped it to be.
Yeah, it's just different, isn't it? It's like there are more things you have to think about, and there are a lot of things that are kind of like you just subconsciously do because mm-hmm. it's always been that way for us. I think like now obviously mm-hmm. is a particularly scary time, but at the end of the day, we have always had to be this aware.
Yeah, it's always been a scary time.
Yeah.
It's just right now everything's in, I think everybody's just hyper aware of it, because it's mm-hmm. always like domestic violence and stuff has always been a thing. But
yeah,
it's just we're in a society now where it shouldn't be as prevalent as it is.
Yeah. And I think like, it almost seems worse now, but it's probably like pretty much the same. It's just we didn't always hear about it. You know, like a lot happened without people reporting anything, or people would put up with a lot more and then maybe talk about it later, but maybe not, maybe just try and bury it and get over it. So yeah, I mean, it's just kind of that we're hearing about it a lot more now, but it's yeah,
of course
it's not course. Going anywhere, unfortunately.
Did you see the man versus bear debate on TikTok?
Yes, I did.
Oh my terrifying. God. I saw one TikTok on it, and it was this guy reading comments of like, if you choose the bear, why?
Yeah.
And it's like all these women in the comments were like, the bear wouldn't say that I was too drunk. The bear wouldn't let his friends tape it. The bear wouldn't blame what I was wearing. The bear would leave me alone after I was dead. Like all these horrible Whoa. Things. And I was just yeah. like, it's so fucking true though.
Yeah.
It's so true. Like, oh my God. Like the bear would see me as a human. Like,
wow. Yeah. Oh,
just horrendous. And it was so triggering. And just like, I don't even know. I don't even know, girl. It's scary times. And I just want everybody listening to please, please, please be safe and implement any strategy that you can think of to be safe while you're going out on dates. And I know that this is meant to be a fun podcast where we're like, yay, like go out, build a roster, do all this fun stuff. And we totally stand by it. But please, we beg you, do it in a safe way.
Yeah.
If you have bad vibes about anybody, please listen to your gut instincts. If you don't want to go on that date because you're just not sure and like your instincts are telling you not to, listen to your instincts.
Yeah. There's also like a scheme in the UK, and I've seen it in a few pubs. I don't know if it's like everywhere, but it's basically said, it's like on the back of the toilet doors when you go in the toilet.
Yes.
And it says, yes. If you are like on a bad date or something, or something's going wrong and you feel unsafe, then go to the bar and ask for Angela. I think it's Angela.
Yes.
Angela. Yeah. And they'll keep you safe basically and get rid of the other person. So yeah, but equally like, do things like that anyway, you know, like if you ever feel uncomfortable or whatever, just try and get help and get yourself out of that situation. I think this is like such a thing with online dating as well. It's like, I mean, it's kind of the same when you meet someone on a night out, you don't know them. And a lot of scary shit can happen. I know like friends that terrifying shit has happened to. And that's from someone they've been on like what, 2 or 3 dates with. So, I mean, I've been in a fucking relationship and scary shit's happened. So it's like, you don't fully know someone until shit hits the fan.
You don't even know somebody if shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
Like, so like what happened to me. So I've spoken about this just like little bits here and there publicly, but like never really in detail. So just trigger warning, guys, I am going to talk about sexual assault. So if this is too hard for you to hear, please like just skip through the next few minutes. So a few years ago now, so it would have been like 2019, I was out in Sydney with my friends and we met up. We didn't meet up, but we just like found these people along the night out that were at like a bucks party, but it was like a mixture of like men and women. And so we hung out with them all night, like had like a really good time. Everyone was going back to the best man's house to like kick on the party. My friends didn't want to go, so they went back to our hotel and I was like, oh, well, this is okay. I'm just going to be with these people and this is where I'm going to be. Like my friends had my address and everything and we did like everything as safe as possible. And I was really, really vibing with the best man of the bucks do. And so went back to his place and it was all lovely. I stopped drinking. I wasn't like really drunk, but I was like, nah, I've just like, I need to swap to water now. Like I've had enough.
Yeah.
And so everybody was leaving and the girls, like, I just remember the girls kept on being like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, yeah, I'm just going to have a sleepover. It's fine. And they were ushering these, like his, like the girls out the door and they're like, are you sure you're fine? And I was like, yeah, it's fine. Like, it's all good. And so I'd been saying to the best man all night, I was like, I'm not having sex with you. Like I like you. I just don't want to do sex right now. Like I want to go on a couple of dates and stuff like that first.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, was really respectful of that when like we were having those conversations, like all like dotted all throughout the night. And then we went to bed and like, I was like in one of his t-shirts and like my underwear and he like wouldn't stop touching me and trying to kiss me and I was saying no to the point where I got annoyed and got the ick and was like, no, like go to sleep.
Yeah.
And so went to sleep and I don't know what happened, but I woke up at like, it was 4 o'clock in the morning on the dot, because I checked my phone and I was like, I need to go, but my phone had 1% battery left and I didn't remember the address of the like the hotel. Like there was just some sort of mental block where I was like, I don't know where to go, because I was thinking like, I'm gonna have to get a taxi because my phone's gonna die, so I'm not gonna be able to order an Uber, but I don't know the address of the hotel that I'm going to where my friends are. So I was like, oh god, okay, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I've just got to like sleep and like wake up in the morning and ask for a phone charger and go.
Right.
And this man rolled on top of me, pinned me down, started having sex with me. I said no, but he started having sex with me and I just remember feeling like my whole body broke. Like I just felt like I was made of glass and everything shattered and I just thought to myself like, this is what it's like to be raped, because this is definitely not consensual whatsoever.
Yeah.
So finished, he went back to sleep and I just sort of like laid there like staring at the ceiling. I did eventually get back to sleep at like some point and like woke up at really early in the morning, was like, can you please take me to my hotel now? So got him to drive me back to my hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't like admit it to myself. I was just like, oh my god, this is horrible.
Like this, you felt so horrible. Yeah, like you felt that like, yeah, not right feeling.
Not right. And I was like, kind of gaslighting myself. Like, did I say mm-hmm. yes at any point? And like, you know, trying to make excuses for it. So I got my friends, we all packed our stuff and we drove back to the Central Coast. And my, like one of my best friends who was with, like who I drove home with, she was just like, she could tell something was wrong. So she was like working overtime to like get me to talk and like get me to feel okay. Like I couldn't say it out loud yet. And, but she could tell something was wrong and I could tell that she could tell that something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took me, it took me like hours and hours and hours to really come to terms with what had happened to me. And yeah, he was texting me all day being like, when are you coming back? I really want to see you again. Like he just had, I don't know if he didn't know what he'd done or if he was trying to like overcompensate now. Like at that time, I don't mm-hmm. know. And like he's like, I just think he's walking around there like around now with like no idea what he's done. So I eventually told my mum, who was stressed to the nines because it was the same weekend that my dad was told he was never going to be able to walk again.
Oh Jesus.
So it was like, had like a really good chat with my mum. She was absolutely like heartbroken. I went to see my other best friend and she was just like, I knew something was wrong this morning. You were not walking on sunshine. I've known you since we were 5 years old and you've walked on sunshine every day of your life. And this morning you are not the same girl. I knew something had happened to you. And like, it's just like written all over your face and you're completely valid.
Yeah.
And then I went to my doctor, I had a rape kit done, I had literally bruises of handprints all over my legs and arms, so I got those all photographed.
Oh my god.
so horrible. I decided not to pursue it legally with this man because it was just like in the middle of my dad being so sick, and I just couldn't deal with like going through something as traumatic as like fighting this or doing something about it.
Yeah.
When like I had to look after my dad. Like I didn't, and I didn't want my dad to know that it happened to me. And
right.
It was just this horrible, horrible thing.
Did you, sorry to interrupt. Was there a part of you that didn't want to tell your dad because you felt like some sort of blame, or was it that you didn't want to put onto him because he had so much going on?
I just didn't, like, my dad's time was so limited and I didn't want to, I didn't feel any blame for it. I just didn't want to make him sad, and like that would have absolutely broken my dad's heart.
Yeah,
because like I was his baby girl. Like my dad did absolutely everything in the world to look after me. Like he was like, when I used to commute down to Sydney, like my dad would meet me at the train station every day to make sure I got to my car safe. Like,
yeah,
that's the kind of dad that my dad is. And you know, it would just, the fact that anybody had ever hurt me like that would just have absolutely broken his heart, and his time was precious, and I didn't want it to be spent with him being heartbroken.
Yeah, so of course.
That's why I chose not to go and report it. It doesn't invalidate that it happened to me. And
absolutely not.
Like, I hope that the monster that did that to me has never laid hands on another girl like that. I hope not. But it's just, it was too much at that time for me to do anything about. But yeah, so went to the doctor, got all that done. This guy had given me chlamydia as well, just to add insult to injury.
Oh yeah. He literally just, he didn't wear a condom or anything. He just,
no.
Wow.
No, there was no consent, let alone a condom.
Yeah.
So,
I'm so sorry, my love.
It's okay. It's not okay. It's absolutely not okay. But it's just like, I thought that I had done everything to be safe.
Yeah.
And this horrible, horrible, horrible thing happened. And there was just this, like, I started telling people like here and there about it, and there was a lot of rhetoric along the lines of like, well, and like somebody did say, well, like you were only wearing your underwear, like you were wearing his t-shirt and your underwear, like you, like you tempted it, like suggested, yeah, that I like tempted him into it. And it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're fucking naked. Yeah, exactly.
I could have been naked sitting on top of him, and if I was still saying no, that still means no.
Yeah. You know? Like, no response is also no. Or ambiguous response is also no. Consent is yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would like to. Like, that is all consent is. Nothing else can be misconstrued as consent. It's either given or it isn't.
Exactly. And, like, just, if you have a feeling like it wasn't okay, it's not okay. So because there was a fair bit of rhetoric around like, well, you probably tempted him into it. Like, did you like try and fight him off? Like, how did he know? And I was like one of my best friends actually said like, well, if you didn't fight him off, then like that's basically saying yes as well. And I was like, oh my God, what if that is? And so I ended up going to a sexual assault clinic and talking to a professional, and I could not recommend that any more than like, I just, it validated everything. I went through everything that happened with this woman. I was like, I think I didn't fight him off, but I said no before, and like he held me down, like I had all like the bruises and stuff to like, it was still like yellowing by the time that I saw this lady. And she was like, you did what you had to do to survive. Like, if somebody does that to you and you, like, just lie there and take it, that's your survival instinct. Like, you're just going to do what you can to survive. Like, I was like, oh, my God, I think I, like, I didn't, like, moan like I was enjoying it, but I was just, like, I was just, like, sort of, I don't know, I feel like I like played along a little bit towards the end of it, just to like, I don't know. And she was like, that's okay, like that's just your survival thing. You said not, you're completely valid in this because he's already raping you. Like, you don't want it to, like, you don't know how much more violent he can get.
You know clearly, so, like, how strong he was from, mm-hmm. like, how he bruised you just from, like, holding you. Like, down. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so my love.
Just, yeah, mm. And it's just, I don't know, it's just been really triggering seeing all this sort of stuff in the media, especially, like, there's been a lot of talk about, like, language used that condones men's violence and saying things like, oh, like, well, you tempted him because you were wearing that, or like you pushed him or whatever. It's just like, no, because there is no excuse for it ever.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Anyway,
sorry to get really, really dark into that. I know that we're talking about like women's safety around dating. I just wanted to share my story. Yeah. And say that, like, it's sometimes like you think that you can do everything possible to be safe, but if something happens, it's absolutely not your fault.
No, you are not to blame. And thank you so much for sharing your story as well. Like, I didn't know about this when it happened to you. I think I found out last year, when you told me about it. And yeah, it's just like, when it's like, I mean, it's disgusting anyway. And I think whenever I hear things like this in the news anyway, I do instantly feel like, oh, in my gut. But when it's someone you love, you're like, it like physically makes you like angry. Like, yeah, it's just, I feel so sad that that happened to you.
It's so horrible. And like, because like I don't talk about it a lot, like I'll mention it when it's relevant, mm-hmm. and I don't think I've ever actually told that full story in detail, like,
yeah,
to like my loved ones, let alone like on a podcast. But when I did start telling like my friends and family like what had happened to me and like why I was a bit rattled, the amount of like women in my life that came forward with similar stories, I was like,
yeah,
wow. Like, wow, I'm so surrounded by such strong women who definitely like have survived some absolute bullshit,
yeah,
and been perpetrated horribly by men. And it's just, it's gotta stop. Like, it's just, we just as a whole, we have to do better.
Yeah. Well, I think it makes you think about all these situations as well. And this came up the other day when I was sharing something on Instagram about women's safety, and someone had brought up kind of like the gray areas of kind of sexual assault and that sort of thing. I mean, like, I still feel like it's sexual assault. There's just varying degrees of it. But there's so many like situations that we're just like, oh, was that? Or like, is that like a gray area? And you're like, no, it's just, okay, we've been like programmed to accept more. And like, you know, like, I mean, a sexual assault is sexual assault in so many different forms. It doesn't have to be full rape, you know? Yeah.
I like, sorry, this sounds so silly, but like, so when you said gray area, I was like, no, Lucy, there's a yes or no. But now that you've explained that, I'm like, yes. Like, I was going through my old journals yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. And there's stuff from like 2011 when I was 18 and just started going out. And there's like, I was trying to walk out of a club and my boyfriend was holding my hands, and another man like came up behind me and pulled my dress down and like pulled my tits out of my bra, like in the middle of the club.
Fuck?
And then I like got me thinking, and I'm like, oh my god, there's like that time I was getting in a taxi and a stranger like put his hand up my skirt and things like this. And I'm like, oh my god, like the fact that that was just like, oh, boys will be boys is so fucking disgusting. And I just hope that like I have sons that I can raise so much better than these absolute mongrels.
Yeah. Well, I remember even like being like 13, 12, 13, I started going to like concerts, and you'd end up in like the mosh pit or whatever, and it was just an excuse for guys to like grab your ass and like put their hand up your skirt or whatever. And like, I don't know, I remember thinking that that was like quite normal, like it wasn't like a one-off, it wasn't like, you know, like I don't know. And to think about now is like, it's disgusting. Like
it's behavior that's been accepted for too long.
Yeah.
And women 100%. Have had to put up with for too long. And I'm sorry, I'm getting so angry with this.
No, as we fucking should though. We need more angry voices, because
angry voices.
Well, the thing is, it's like, it's a scary fucking world. Like I was watching some like news clip or something the other day, and it was talking about the overturning of Roe versus Wade in America. So banning abortion in certain parts of America. And then it was basically then went to like a clip of Trump like campaigning, being like, oh yeah, next step is contraceptives because they're the gateway to abortion. And I was like, what the fuck is happening in this world? Like I can't tell you how affected I felt for the rest of the day, because I was like, is this genuinely something else that we now have to worry about? That like, not only is abortion still illegal in many places, but it's also not, it's either illegal or not as easily accessible in so many places. And now we're going to have contraception to worry about as well, an emergency contraception I think in particular.
Oh my god,
which basically leaves us no options. Like what are we supposed to do then, you know what I mean?
Mandatory vasectomies until a man can prove he's ready to have kids.
Yeah, literally. Well, I was actually just one of my feminist lessons I've been trying to give to the Italian prick. And we were talking about this.
He's not exactly on board with feminism as a concept, but I'm not sure he completely understands the concept.
Exactly.
Considering he's out buying like vaginal cream, I think he kind of is a feminist, but like... Yeah.
The thing is, his beliefs are, I think, like, don't get me wrong, he took the piss out of like... chaining me to the kitchen or whatever. But in reality, I don't cook. He brings me food. The other day I was cleaning my house and he was like, wait, I've got a 2-hour break. I'm coming over because I can clean it properly. So like...
he's a domestic goddess, basically.
Yeah, he doesn't mean some of the shit he says, but...
He doesn't mean most of it, let's be honest.
Exactly. But
yeah, so you've been hosting feminist lessons for him.
Yes, because he was like, do we really need feminism, or do we just need to make sure the woman is paid equal? I was like, well, yes, both. That too, but yeah, we also need feminism. And yeah, we were talking about abortion, and he was saying, even in Italy, because I was like, oh, in Italy, it's legal, right? So it's like fine. And he was like, yeah, it's like legal in terms of the law. He was like, but you'll have so much trouble trying to find a doctor that will do it, because a lot of them are Catholic. So he was like, so for example, if you want an abortion in Italy, you're probably going to end up going to Switzerland to get it. And I'm like, that's crazy, because it's like, who the fuck can afford to do that? You know, not the average person, you know what I mean?
No, it's so
scary.
It's so fucked. It's so fucked. It's just my body, my choice. Let me have a choice, please.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, I want a choice of what goes in. I want a choice of whether something comes out. Like, it's just, it's so fucking hard for so many people. And I'm so sorry if... somebody somewhere is listening to this and it's like you're in a place where anything of this topic is hard, but it's just, oh, it makes me so angry. I'm like having trouble articulating myself now.
Yeah, but it's also, it's like it feels like another way of abusing women. And the reality is, like, making abortion illegal doesn't stop abortions from happening. It stops safe abortions from happening. So that is also killing women. You know, women will go, desperate women will go for illegal abortions and end up either, you know, very sick or oftentimes dead. Yeah. So it's like another tactic. Do you know what I mean? It's like another way of attacking women.
It's another way of oppressing women and keeping the patriarchy alive. Oh, fuck the patriarchy. Fuck the patriarchy.
Fuck it in the ass.
Okay. So sorry, guys. We got really, really deep there, but those are just some, I think, like, important topics that we felt like we had to touch on.
Yeah.
Luce, do you have a ghost story to, like, lighten it up before we wrap up?
Look, I don't think I have a ghost story because I forgot to check of this week's. I did have some good ones this week. Oh, there was a woman, actually, who messaged saying that she spent $850 on getting her eyebrows microbladed and then had too many hot showers, so they disappeared within 2 weeks. She was like, my eyebrows ghosted me. I was like, Jesus, that is heartbreaking. God. Absolutely heartbreaking.
I had to pluck this, my problem eyebrow. You know how I've got one that just, like, grows out at the end really funny?
Oh, yeah.
I had to pluck that today and I was literally crying in the mirror like, I don't want to do this, it hurts.
Oh my God, imagine I'm literally sitting here like stroking my chin, like all my beard hairs, because I don't have you to pluck them for me.
See, that's true love when you're going to pluck someone's beard for them.
I know.
I miss you. I've got so many little spikes.
I miss you so much.
Okay, I think this is us done for today.
We've got a lot in there.
I'm so sorry if anything in here was triggering for anybody. And if anybody's going through absolutely anything that would require any help, or if you just want to talk to somebody, we are going to put some links in the show notes for sexual assault clinics, like domestic violence shelters, hotlines, helplines, all the sorts of things. So they'll be in the show notes. And if you need help, please, please, please reach out to them. If you have any questions about today's episode, please feel free to DM us. We love that. Yeah.
If there's anything further you'd want us to discuss on this topic, also drop us a message. Because I think this is something, you know, it's not going anywhere. This will be prevalent in a lot of things we discuss on here. So let us know.
It's the fight we're gonna have to have for a very, very long time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we gotta do the work so that hopefully the world's a better place for our daughters and our boys and all that sort Amen. Of stuff.
And we gotta Amen. Teach the men as we go.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean by, like, the boys and stuff. We've got to, you know, we've got to shape the young minds to be, so everyone's just a feminist.
Yeah, exactly. Amen.
Amen, sister. All right. Well, I love you, Luce, and I'll talk to you again next week.
I love you, my darling, and we love you all. And if you would be ever so kind as to like, subscribe, leave a review, rate us 5 stars, all download. Would be delightful. Download, please download away.
Please download. Okay, we love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.